It's January 11th, and we're here on TELUS, and we've got to talk to Bob Anderson. And he's one of the partners at that law firm, correct?
That's correct. I'm Bob Anderson of the law firm of Sinfonia, Telfer, Rita, Faraday, and Anderson. And our telephone number is 321-269-6833 or 1-800-OUR-LAWYER, L-A-W-Y-E-R.
The Orlando Sentinel filed Freedom of Information request, and once they examined the original order that had been written by the judge in the Casey Anthony case, they realized that he had never written a statement to continue sealing the document after the case had ended. So they did open that document, and Dr. Jeffrey Danziger's psychiatric report is completely open online. We have a copy of it, and we came back to you to see, what's your opinion of this?
Well, I don't know all the facts on how that happened, and I don't know why there was a psychological report written by Danziger in the first place. For example, if the defendant had attempted to claim that Miss Anthony was insane at the time of the offense, you have to get court-appointed medical doctors to examine her in order to make that determination. Those reports are not privileged. And when I say privileged, every patient has a psychotherapist patient privilege, meaning that when you talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, what you say to them remains your secret, unless you waive that. Now, when you're claiming insanity or in claiming incompetence to stand trial, you kind of waive that privilege because you want the judge to know what the psychiatrist or psychologist says. Now, on the other hand, if Casey Anthony had independently contacted Ms. Dr. Danziger to do an independent evaluation of her so that her attorneys could use to prepare for a defense, then that particular report would be confidential and would be privileged. Now, I don't know how the report of Danziger got to the court file. I do believe that Casey Anthony nor her attorneys ever sought to have the judge found incompetent to stand trial, nor did they attempt to use an insanity defense. So the reason that psychological report was in the file, something I can't explain. Don't know why it was there. And typically, if it was there, a court would seal it until the end of the case, and of course the case is over, and then they would unseal it because then it becomes public record. But why was it there in the first place? I don't know. If I was Casey Anthony, and my private conversations that I expected to remain private and privileged were in that report that was released, I'd be very angry because I expected those things to remain secrets, and now they're not. So I imagine that there's probably going to be some litigation coming out of this disclosure. Of course, I watch TV like the rest of you do, and I've seen Danziger all over the news since the end of this trial on all these different shows, Dr. Oz and these other shows on TV. So he's been stating his opinions liberally and sufficiently. So I don't know what ultimately is going to happen, but if I were representing Casey Anthony now, I'd probably file a lawsuit against him and at least report him to the authorities because he may have violated the privilege.
I don't think he released.
No, they got whatever was in the court file.
Yes.
Because they unsealed it, because it must have been in the court file, and when the court file unsealed it, Orlando got it through what they call a public records request.
Yes, correct.
That's what happened.
That's exactly
but
what
see,
happened.
What I can't figure out is why it was there in the first place.
I'm wondering if they aren't doing this to retaliate because Casey Anthony released, I mean, nobody believes that her computer was hacked. And when you read the material, you can see that it's very confrontational and very promoting of her future and all the things to come and the new shows to come. So she's trying to brand herself, as we said last time, and clearly she's succeeding. I personally think they retaliated by giving her something to be embarrassed about to maybe shut her up and have her go back behind her curtain.
Well, and of course, if she wants to stay behind the curtain, that's her right, as is anybody's right. But, you know, it's kind of hard to want to be a private person and then go out on some kind of social network and tell everybody about your every thought.
Yes, and the first video was bad enough, but the second video, a taunt, as though she's gaming the system and taunting.
Well, I try to tell young people this all the time. I recently represented a young man who was prosecuted pretty much because he went out on social media and talked to his friends and told them some things that they were able to get off that network and use against him in court. Had he kept his mouth shut and had he not gone and on Facebook or whatever it was and told these friends all this stuff that he is supposed to have done, then we wouldn't have had to be retained to represent him for a very serious crime. What we're finding out, what many lawyers are finding out, is that you can get a whole lot of information off these Facebook pages and off this social media, and because people love to talk and they love to talk about themselves, and they say a lot of stuff that they wish they hadn't said once it's used against them.
And the misuse of even something as simple as stationery. As a regular company, we have to be very careful of what we state on our stationery and how we identify ourselves. We can't use anyone else's stationery. I recently had someone who works for a law firm assume that they could use that law firm's stationery and identify the attorneys they worked for. This was a clerk position, and with the gal pal was, is also working for the same law firm, and she's a paralegal, and they chose to use the email, which clearly identifies the law firm, and they put the correspondence through the law firm's email system. Talk about engaging those attorneys in an awful way.
Of course, and that's bad. And you know, young people don't realize how serious some of this stuff is. For example, you know, one of these days, young people who are in college are going to be applying for jobs or graduate schools, medical schools, professional schools. And that downloaded photograph of with your top down in New Orleans with a beer bong sticking out of your mouth that you flashed all your friends, all of a sudden, your prospective employer, your prospective professional school, they're going to find that.
You just made my hair stand on end.
And they're going to see it.
In the same case that I was referring to, one of the gals went on Facebook and posted pictures of herself with a huge bong, and it's so beautifully photographed that in the bowl of the bong you can see the pot. You can see that it's
the smoke.
No, the bowl, the pot. Yeah, in the bowl
the
you can see the actual
green
pot.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's a
people don't real color. Kids don't realize how serious that is, and that, you know, they think it's all fun and games and we're kids, and next thing you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, this prospective employer gets that. He can find it. It's out there in the net. It's there forever.
Yeah, and it was too late. Tried to clean up her act and reconstruct her Facebook and all that, but by then, everybody had the photographs, including the one of her with the big bong and the other one where, in fact, her pictures look a lot like Casey Anthony's, you know, where they're all dancing and grabbing each other's private parts. Those pictures are on the Facebook, too. What would a potential employer think of that?
That's correct, and those things are bad, and kids need to really be educated by their parents about that thing.
Oh, and these are not kids.
They just don't realize that once that stuff gets out there, it's out there.
My word. Well, as it goes, I can't thank you enough.
No, it's been my pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Anderson. It's always a pleasure to have you on syndicatednews.net.
The pleasure is entirely mine. I'm Bob Anderson, and I'm on syndicatednews.net.